Now, just imagine how many thousands, millions of women would actually be on a pathway to happiness right now and wouldn't be dying alone in nursing homes or shit, dying of cervical cancer if it were not for women like this.
It's not just cervical cancer.
I understand it's not just cervical cancer. I'm making a point.
It's basically all the cancers that affect this area.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually came at the end of the one-eyed wonder worm.
Get your labiaplasty. Because it looks like a couple of pieces of jacklings decided to set up shop and grow a fungus farm down there.
God! Holy shit, you have a way with words,
it's
bro.
It's okay, you just stuff a couple of Starburst in there. It's as good as new.
Our current stunning and brave, duly elected, most popular president ever might have delivered the coup de grace to the Republic, but the first shots were fired by useful idiot vaginuts in sheep's clothing peddling lies and propaganda before our former Kenyan-in-chief made it legal. Take a stand against the tyranny and get yourself a copy of Surviving Fourth Wave Fleminism today. A link is in the description.
It's gonna be a good one. I got a good feeling.
Oh shit.
Welcome to a ride and roast with two Richards in a tiny car. I'm Blake, this is Pot.
Ah, it's not that tiny, come on.
It's tiny enough.
All right, semi-tiny.
Now, we've been telling you guys for years, been telling our female fans of the show, all four of you, that feminism lied to you.
Lied to you?
That it led you down a primrose path specifically because the age-old saying is true. Misery loves company. And now, one of them finally admitted it.
Oh, yeah? Well, it's not. She's not the first one. They're starting to come out now.
Yeah, they're coming out of the closet. Not like we didn't know that was already part of the issue. I'm just saying. They turned their necessity into a virtue.
Yeah.
I don't need the sausage. I could just fill up on the buns. Wait. Buns make you fat.
That's right. You better lick them and stick them right to your ass, because that's right where they're going.
Fill up your donut hole, please.
My God, that's terrible.
Shout out to Dinoside 13. I decided to wear the Pinky and the Brain shirt today just for you. Nof. She wrote fake news for Cosmopolitan and now regrets misleading women on feminism.
You're an idiot, no.
Sue Ellen Browder wrote fake news before fake news was ever a thing. Except she prefers not to call it that. Not because she's embarrassed to admit she wrote fake news, although she's certainly not proud, but because she thinks the term fake news is too vague to understand.
Is it really? I don't know, man. I mean,
fake news.
Fake is fake. I mean, it pretty much explains it, right?
Yeah, they're passing it off as news, but it's fabricated.
And in all actuality, it was propaganda back then, too.
I think that she's going to get into that.
Yeah. All right.
Browder, a Cosmopolitan magazine writer for 20 years, describes what she wrote as propaganda. You called it. The goal? To sell women on the idea that sexual liberation is the path to the single woman's personal fulfillment.
Ooh, I have a feeling that we're going to break a lot of hearts here.
Fulfillment.
Because if there's one article that we've covered on this show that has gone completely unreported on, it's this one. And I know that to be a fact because this came out last May, and it's only now getting out there in the mainstream. Carl Benjamin did a video on it on his podcast, and yeah, it's going to get out there, and all these women are going to be like, it can't be true.
What we have going on now here is one big propaganda machine.
Oh, yeah.
And I find it hard that the system that we have, which is basically bought and paid for and reporting propaganda, it's going to waste any of its time busting out old propaganda.
Especially when they can use said propaganda to make so much money.
And they're just going to recycle it.
Well, anytime you can pin any sect of the population against the other, corporations, government, politicians, they can all grift off of that. Ask for donations, to fight for a good cause, all this bullshit. None of it really means anything. It's just how they fatten their wallets and empty your heads.
Somebody has got to pay for the jobs that all these people are going to college for.
So that's where the whole student loan forgiveness thing comes in, right? Because they don't get jobs unless you count barista at Starbucks.
Well, actually, there are very few of these, like, touchy-feely jobs out there.
Yeah.
But they do not pay enough.
Oh, no.
To quench, in, you know, getting out of a four-year degree with $80,000 in student loan debt.
Yeah. Let's say you have high five figures in student loan debt, and you the best you can do, at least in the beginning, is scoring a job for like $35,000 a year.
Yeah.
Once you're done paying for basic essentials, you can barely afford your student loans, if you can at all.
That's right. You probably can't. You got to eat, you know.
But these degrees are so versatile, the only thing you can do with them is teach your degree. And that's your best case scenario.
That's your best case scenario.
You become a professor at some university like Quinnipiac that thinks it can violate its students' civil rights. I'm sure that's not going to backfire on them at all.
Well, I'm sure they can, once they get their degree, that they just do a little extra and get their teaching certificate. And then you have these brainwashed idiots.
Brainwashing more idiots.
brainwashing more idiots, which will be your kids.
Yep.
You don't think white supremacy and white privilege exists? Check yourself.
Propaganda is very sophisticated, Browder tells the Daily Signal. It's half-truth, selected truth, and truth out of context.
Which is a lie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Propaganda is used not just to sell products, she adds. It's also used to sell ideas.
It's pretty much what it is.
And that's the problem with some ideas, is that they can be so amorphous that you can change them over time. And that's why the left has taken to changing the definitions of long-established words, is because they've just gotten so used to moving the goalposts to further their own agenda. Now they're doing it with anything.
Correct.
Oh, we don't have racism anymore? Well, why don't we just change the definition of it? So it can only mean white people, or only apply if you have institutional power, never mind affirmative action.
So, yeah. Everyone else can be racist, but if they don't have institutional power, we can't call it racist.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Bullshit!
Prior to writing for Cosmopolitan, Browder worked at a small daily newspaper, the South Bay Daily Breeze, just outside of Los Angeles.
Cuckafornia stand, shocker.
When she and her husband unexpectedly got pregnant...
Wow, this woman is actually married?
I'm sorry to that dude.
They were far more excited about it than her bosses at the newspaper were. They told me I could only work 5 months into my pregnancy and then I had to quit, Browder recalls.
When was that, in the 70s?
This was 1969, so...
This was in the... That's a whole other
It might as
animal.
Well be. It's a completely different culture.
That's right.
You're talking about a bygone era. I mean, the entire world has flipped on its ass I don't know how many times since then.
Yep, we've pulled the rug out from our own feet so many times, it looks like breakdancing.
Yeah, that was back when Afghanistan had buildings. So, are we saying that women never had to deal with hardships in the West? No, but that time is long since over.
Absolutely correct.
But just like every other grift, they have to try to keep the fight going, otherwise the money dries up.
That experience turned Browder, who was born and raised in small-town Iowa, into a feminist. The year was 1969, and getting fired for being pregnant was a wake-up call. The situation made Browder, who graduated from the Missouri School of Journalism, realize that women had quite a bit of work to do.
Even in the 1960s, this is a person who managed to graduate from a prestigious university with a degree and move out to Cuckafornia stand and actually get a job with it.
And get married.
And she's still oppressed.
And got pregnant. But somehow she's still oppressed.
When?
I gotcha.
That's not oppression. It's a recognition of reality. When women get pregnant and start families, their job automatically goes to the back burner.
Correct.
An employer, it is your responsibility to have the person in that position who is going to give it 100%. Not 85, not 70, not 69.
Basically, if they're working... They need to be at a production level which pays their salary plus some.
Yep. And studies have proven over and over again that even in modern day, women who start families routinely do not like to go back to work once they have taken their maternity leave.
And once they have that kid, you know, that mama switch flips and they want to stay home.
gee, it's almost like they recognize that feminism lied to them without really realizing it, because feminism told them it was the job that was going to give them the fulfillment that they needed. It's not until they have children and start taking care of them that they realize, you know, this is really what I've been missing.
Yeah.
Fulfilling my biological imperative, having the love of a man who's the alpha of his home, who I can actually respect.
No.
No.
Those feminism wants women to act like men.
Yeah.
All right.
All while claiming masculinity is toxic. The irony is palpable.
Yeah, it is. And I don't want to be in a relationship with another man. I'm not gay.
No. No.
I'm sorry. No way, Jose.
You're not gay, so don't play.
That's right.
If you hear what I say.
If not, then go away.
Women could not apply for credit in their own name. There were help wanted ads, help wanted male and help wanted female, she says. Women couldn't go to law school or medical schools in many cases. There was a lot of discrimination going on, and this is why in the late 60s and early 70s, so many women of my generation identified with the feminist movement.
So they had an actual beef.
Uh-huh.
And then what happened? They got what they wanted. The fight was over. Oh, but that means the money dries up.
Correct. Oh. They gotta keep going.
Here's a thought. When you declare victory, just go the fuck home and make me a sandwich and give me a blowjob when you're there.
That's right. Pack up your shit and go home. It's over.
Jesus Christ.
Being a feminist back then was very different from what it means today. When many perceive the movement as anti-male and pro-abortion.
That's pretty much what it has been.
That's like two-thirds of it right there.
Yeah.
The other third is just whining.
Hashtag kill all men.
There you go.
We need to kill all men.
The feminist movement was fighting for equal opportunity for women in education and the workforce, Browder says of its early roots. The sexual revolution, on the other hand, was fighting for all sorts of sexual freedoms.
Which you in turn got, and you're still complaining about it.
Congratulations, you won.
Here's a thought. Back in the 60s, one of the biggest things that they said like was a victory for the feminist movement was the birth control pill, right?
Correct.
And of course the pro-abortion thing. You know, now we are finally, we have the keys to reproduction. We can, you know, finally decide, you know, who, what, where, when, and why in our lives, blah, blah, blah. And then that suddenly was no longer enough. Suddenly men started having to take responsibility for that. Well, men should have to do this and men should have to do that. And you child support and no-fault divorce. Okay, fine, you get all that stuff too. Now, finally, they're on the verge of having a birth control shot, I believe, for men. And the feminists are whining about, how dare you, you're taking back something that's rightfully ours, blah, blah, blah. I thought you said you wanted us to take responsibility.
Listen, I'm not taking that shot.
Oh, my God.
Nope, not doing it.
So how did the two become so intertwined? In part, Browder says, through the propaganda she wrote.
I think she's trying to unburden her soul in her sunset years because she knows that she is largely responsible for a sweeping wave of unhappiness that has about a third of Western women taking head meds.
Yes, and she's feeling guilty. And before she kicks the kickstand and throws her body into traffic to get crushed, she wants to unburden her spirit and heart.
Please forgive me.
Shut the fuck up.
It's not like I was a gigantic whore or anything. I just encouraged other women to be that.
Yeah, you like ruined. You ruined an entire civilization, man.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's not just women that she had a hand in ruining. It was Western society as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, right now we have, what, 6.5 out of 1,000 are getting married.
Yep.
That is pitifully low. We are no longer at, what is that, replacement rate?
Well, we've been below replacement rates for a while.
It's been, what, 3 or 4 years? Maybe longer we've been below replacement rates.
I don't know.
Beginning in 1971, Browder worked under the legendary Helen Gurley Brown, who was Cosmopolitan's editor-in-chief for more than 30 years and author of the best-selling 1960 book, Sex and the Single Girl.
Oh, so you're the one we have to thank for this mess.
Sex and the Single Girl in the 60s.
And that was back when they all had Bush.
Yeah. You know, that whole love generation?
Yeah.
It didn't really work out for a lot of people.
Not so much.
Not so much.
I mean, unless your goal was to get, you know, syphilis, herpes, gonorrhea, chlamydia, clams.
Well, like when I was growing up in the 70s, I had all kinds of friends that, you know, didn't even know who their father was. Never met him. You know, my mother never talked about him because she didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Woodstock.
Woodstock wasn't named after the city. It was named after your father.
Taking cues from Playboy magazine, Brown turned the struggling magazine into an international empire.
And wiped out so many IQ points in the process.
Yeah, just they polluted a lot of people's minds with that bullshit they were printing.
She gave her writers a printed list of rules to follow, which included instructions about how to make up parts of their stories to sound more convincing.
Wow, it's not like they're still doing that today.
I mean, it's not like CNN took notes from Cosmo or anything.
Browder still owns her original copy of the rules today. Flipping through the pages, she reads two examples aloud.
This ought to be good.
Here we go.
Unless you are a recognized authority on the subject, profound statements must be attributed to somebody appropriate, even if the writer has to invent the authority.
No.
You mean like anonymous sources?
Anonymous sources, yeah.
Or a whole show called Reliable Sources. Fuck you, Brad Stelter.
Try to locate some of the buildings, restaurants, nightclubs, parks, streets, as well as entire case histories in cities other than New York, even if you deliberately have to plant them elsewhere. Most writers live in New York. 92% of our readers do not.
Wow. So let's just take advantage of people's geographical ignorance and use it as a way to reinforce our garbage.
And just lie. Lies!
By planting salacious stories about women having extravagant affairs in places such as Cleveland and Des Moines, Browder says, the magazine spread its moles throughout the country and throughout the culture by pretending that they were much more widespread than they actually were.
They were lying and deceiving all the way back then.
Well, all you need is a vocal enough minority and a media willing to print the garbage in order to convince people that shit's popular when it's actually not.
Yep.
Which is why when you get woke, you go broke. Because wokeness is a very, very vocal,
whiny
minority. And they are by no means representative of the entire country. So
no,
every time
they
release these fucking garbage movies, no one watches them.
I'm not watching them.
But they think that Los Angeles and New York City represent the entire country.
Back in the day, what happened in New York usually set the stage first. Then it would wind up on the West Coast, and then it would be then shortly after that, it would permeate the rest of the country from both shores.
Yeah, I think they caught on to that, but now in the age of the internet, that's no longer the case. Los Angeles and New York City at this point are basically irrelevant, out of touch, elitist pricks who don't have a pulse on anything other than themselves.
Yes, you are correct. Say goodbye to Hollywood.
One of those Cosmo moles was the idea that abortion was a woman's right, years before the Supreme Court ruled it constitutionally protected right.
Actually, they didn't rule it a constitutionally protected right. People like the notorious RBG decided that they couldn't really tell you not to get one because it was a violation of your Fourth Amendment rights. They seem to have completely forgotten that in the age of the jab, but hey, what do I know? I mean, it's not like the Supreme Court has been completely cucking on us or anything.
No.
That would never happen.
No. They're a bunch of traitors.
Browder details the story of how a small group of feminists inserted abortion into the agenda of the women's movement in a 2015 book, Subverted, How I Helped the Sexual Revolution Hijack the Women's Movement. She documents the disgust of many pro-life feminists.
And I think we all know now, what, 50 years later? It was most definitely a turn for the worse.
Yeah.
I mean, women have the market cornered on genocide.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they get to kill their own children at will.
Yep.
And then they get mad if you tell them that that's murder. What the fuck? They can abandon, they can adopt, and they can abort. They have the AAA insurance policy.
Men have...
Nothing.
Nothing. You either don't play or you pay.
That's right.
But it's a war on women, yeah. They're the ones who have their reproductive freedoms threatened constantly. Yeah, sure.
Nobody's threatening your reproductive freedoms. We're just simply threatening that we, as taxpayers, don't want to pay for your decisions.
Yep. Anybody out there ever know of a woman who was a victim of maternity fraud?
Yeah.
Didn't think so.
No, never happens.
But from that point on, the narrative was set. Essentially, all women want this, and that is how propaganda works, Browder says.
And as a result, now women are unhappier today than they ever have been in the history of this country.
Mm-hmm. It's 1 in 4 are on head meds.
Yep.
And that could be... It's probably 1 in 3 now, because that stat is, what, 12 years old.
Well, isn't it amazing that back in the days, you know, when women didn't have equal rights, blah, 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 they were much happier? And gee, it's almost like men built a patriarchy to serve women. And it was only when they started smashing that to bits that they realized, oh, we actually had it good. But most of them don't wake up and realize this until they're far past the wall. And they're of no use to society or feminism anymore. So that's they can't even get the word out there until it's too late.
And women, right around 38 is when feminism forgets you.
Bye-bye.
You are no longer a valuable tool in their arsenal of propaganda.
Nope.
While Brada was married,
past tense,
and living a traditional lifestyle quite different from what she was espousing in Cosmopolitan, she too was corrupted by its influence. At one point, the ideas in those pages seeped into the most personal decision she and her husband could ever make.
This ought to be good.
Come on now.
At 27 years old, Browder was happily married with 2 children at home. When she became pregnant with a third, she and her husband decided to get an abortion. It was 1974, the year after Roe v. Wade.
I have a feeling this is going to go down a dark tunnel.
It's not sounding good.
Just like her husband's penis.
Browder, who lived in the Los Angeles area and later in 2 parts of Connecticut for most of her time writing for Cosmo, says she had the abortion in the same hospital where she previously gave birth. I did not realize what a traumatic experience that would be later in my life and how much it would haunt me.
Wah.
Most women, usually down the road, really regret doing what they did, especially... Yeah. If they get to 38, 40 and have no kids, mm-hmm. but then have, you know, 1 to 4, maybe more flushes in their youth, and they're like, holy shit, I have no kids, but I murdered all the ones I could have had.
Yep.
Wow.
You basically flushed any emotional connection and satisfaction that you could have had in those years 40 to 80 down the toilet. And the regret is palpable.
About 20 years later, 1994, Browder's last piece appeared in Cosmopolitan. About 10 years after that, she converted to Catholicism and sought the help of the church to heal from the abortion.
What were we saying earlier about regret and trying to unburden her soul of all the lies?
Correct. There we go. And you know what? I mean, if you want to get healed in the eyes of the Catholics, one of the things they're not really going to forgive you for is abortions.
Yeah.
I forgive you for just about everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Abortions and straight-up murder, you can have a hard time dealing with the Catholic Church.
When you start betraying the truth, it will come back to haunt you, she says. It will get you in the end. And that's why, even though I knew we were making up stories, I still got sucked in and thought abortion would be okay.
You were wrong.
Dummy!
Now just imagine how many thousands, millions of women would actually be on a pathway to happiness right now and wouldn't be dying alone in nursing homes or shit, dying of cervical cancer if it were not for women like this.
It's not just cervical cancer.
I understand it's not just cervical cancer. I'm making a point.
It's basically all the cancers that affect this area.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually came at the end of the one-eyed wonder worm.
Get your labiaplasty. Because it looks like a couple of pieces of jacklings decided to set up shop and grow a fungus farm down there.
God! Holy shit, you have a way with words,
it's
bro.
It's okay, you just stuff a couple of Starburst in there. It's as good as new.
Oh, God, we need to get beyond that story,
as long as you suck the cysts out.
We need to get beyond that story.
We're never going to get beyond that story.
Dude.
It is legend. It's up there with Excalibur now.
Browder's abortion isn't the only thing she has sought forgiveness for. In her book, she comes clean about the propaganda she wrote for Cosmopolitan, despite its casting an embarrassing shadow over her career as a journalist.
Well, if you're writing propaganda, you're not a journalist. So I wouldn't even call it a career.
I mean, did somebody call her out on it? Or
I don't know.
I mean, most of the times, if nobody's calling you out on your shit as a lie, how could it...
Well... The kind of women who would read her bullshit are not going to think it's a lie.
Yeah.
So this could just be her own, like, the new community that she's come into since converting to Catholicism. Who knows?
Correct.
I don't want to take more credit than I deserve for all this evil, but I think that I was certainly part of the evil empire, if you will, she tells the Daily Signal. And what I would like for young women today is to tell them the truth so that they could see how my generation got it wrong, why we got it wrong, and how they can do better. How your generation can do better.
I'm sorry, but the women of today are just as stupid as the women of yesterday.
In fact, they're because of social media, they're much worse.
Yeah, and the dumbing down of the population because they carry these phones, which makes your brain lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not going. You can educate these women of today all you want. They're going to continue to fuck up by the numbers. In fact, they're doing it even worse.
Yep, smartphones make dumb people. Remember that.
Yep.
And as far as, like, the generations now that are already adults, it's over. And because there's no money to be made telling generations of women, hey, we fucked up, this is never going to get out there.
Yeah, no.
Unless dudes like us talk about it and guys like you watching this share it out.
That's exactly correct.
So check out the links in the description. There will be an archived link to this article. Spam it on all the feminist pages on Facebook. And just rub their noses in it.
They love that.
Yeah.
In order to do better, Prouder says, pro-life women must reclaim the feminist movement for themselves. There is such a thing as pro-life feminism. And in fact, pro-life feminism is the authentic feminism of the 21st century, she says.
All right.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Because that's not what the media is never... ever going to put that out.
Never going to sell that. Number one, this just, and it also smells like another piece of propaganda she's created.
Anything that puts power back in the hands of average men is never going to see the airwaves.
Correct.
They insist that we have the power while they've taken it all away. Anything that actually gives it back, no.
See, and but not only are they stealing like the power, they're taking the power away from the individual man by making him turn on his own masculinity.
Yep.
Wow.
Because now it's about globalism. It's not even nationalism. They've tried to convert that into a dirty word and call patriots terrorists.
Yep.
That's why it's never been about gender. They tried the gender thing. It failed. The race thing has the potential to work, and that's why they're doubling down on it and changing the definition of it. Because race is something that will never go away. Gender now, thanks to the far left, can change on a dime.
That's right.
Every other day.
Sliding scale.
But reclaiming feminism won't be easy, she adds. It will require girls and young women to reject the ideas being sold to them in the pages of Cosmopolitan and almost everywhere else.
See, there's your problem. Because it is,
it is everywhere else.
And social media, because these women just get showered with adulation from the time they turn 18 and sometimes even before that.
Well, dude, I told you the times I went into schools, you know, to, you know, do stuff for my daughters and all of this positive affirmation shit about you can do anything. It's all, you know, it's all pointed at women. There's nothing for dudes.
Because when you empower men, you actually give society the ability to resist the direction that the elites want to take it in.
Damn it. He's right. Well said.
That's why you cripple the military, call masculinity toxic while encouraging women to take on more masculine traits, and for some reason they haven't caught on to that yet, and I don't know why.
Why all this hijacking of the women's movement, Browder asks? Money!
No!
Why was Cosmo so successful? Because it attracted advertisers. Why did it attract advertisers? Because it worked. When a young woman, an insecure young woman, reads these magazines and thinks that she has to have perfume, cosmetics, hair products, beautiful clothes, singles, travel, abortions, contraception, when she thinks she has to have all these things, she's going to spend a lot of money.
Yep. Remember when I went through those two magazines and I dissected them into what, you know, selling, how many pages, how many ads,
yep,
all the shit.
And that was a good episode.
That was a good episode, yeah.
Yeah, we'll put a link to it in the description.
Yeah, I ripped apart. I did a whole comparison between the two different types of... and they're really close between the chicks and the dudes.
And at the time, GQ was still somewhat pro-male. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Nope.
They probably have more in common now than they did then.
Yeah.
We might be able to do an update on that.
Maybe. Yeah.
Browder adds, they're telling you on the one hand, be yourself. On the other hand, they're saying, you're not good enough the way you are. Buy all this stuff to be beautiful. Why aren't you beautiful just the way you are? Here's the perfume. Oh, yeah, you stink too. Oh, and by the way, your hands don't look very nice either. And your hair color is wrong. Oh, and when you're tired of hearing about that, have some ice cream and a little booze to go with it, because then you'll be too fat and we'll have to put you on a diet.
You see what they're doing to you, ladies?
They are marching you in circles.
You're lemmings. You're just getting marched right off a fucking cliff. Even if Disney did stage the massacre just to prove a point, I'm just saying, it's fucked up.
Wow.
Sitting in her bare apartment without the slightest bit of makeup on, Browder, now 74, giggles at the ridiculousness of the ideas that she once told women were the secret to happiness and success.
She's almost the age of my mother.
We've been giggling about this shit for 10 years. Where have you been, lady?
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of these women today are going to wind up exactly like this woman.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Old, poor, powerless, forgotten, and fat.
Yeah. Opath.
Or O-beef. Old, bitchy, entitled, expensive, and fat. Get an O-beef and cheddar.
O-beef and cheddar. Oh, my God.
Just like Chris Chan's mom. Oh!
Oh! But then she turns serious, reflecting on the damage she's done and the damage such magazines and websites continue to do. Now, there's the other side of it. I say, we're all liberated, are we? On the one hand, yes, we can go to college, we can get a degree, we can be doctors, lawyers, engineers, we can do all this stuff. We can make all this money. But...
keep taking my butts, lady.
Browder pauses, looking at the iPhone on a kitchen table. How liberated are we if our girls have got that in their pockets before they can even think?
Oh, whoa!
Wow, haven't we been ripping that apart for quite some time now?
That is a beautiful sentiment right there at the end. It doesn't redeem all the damage that you've done.
No.
But I respect your determination.
But the thing is the youth of today are going to keep, they're listening to the music.
Yep.
And they're going to get marched right off the cliff as well.
And because men are being programmed to think that we're the problem, and women have all this value and they're the prize and men should aspire to that, fresh out of high school, these chicks are getting a double dose of gasoline on the fire that is their delusion.
Yep.
And it's going to take that much longer to put it out.
If ever. If ever.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, OnlyFans shutting down the OrnPay section of their site will at least mean that we have some waitresses back in our restaurant.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of crying over that.
You mean I have to work for a living on my feet, not on my back? What the fuck? I would much rather suck dick.
You serious?
Strong, independent women who would not have a lifestyle to speak of if it were not for the men who prop them up financially.
You're talking about the women with the golden vagina that, you know, basically have everything provided to them because the government holds a firearm at the heads of men to pay for that shit?
Ironically, while saying we're not responsible enough to have our AKs and ARs, despite the fact they just gift-wrapped an entire war to the Taliban.
Correct.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing!
You're not responsible enough to have firearms. Oh, this? I didn't see that poll.
Huh? Jackasses!
So, straight from the menopausal horse's mouth, feminism was always a lie. They might have had some legitimate beef, but you've noticed, with every time they win one of these fights and they have to keep moving the goalpost to keep the fight going, women have become less and less happy. It's almost like we had it right.
Yeah.
And it was going along just fine until they decided to, you know, be like an infantry grunt out in the desert and go pet a snake.
Were you f***ing? That'll do it.
Well, that's what happens now, man. These chicks... you know, we're going to start to see deaths of despair from these women reaching astronomical levels in the next 20 years as all these women fresh out of high school now start smashing into the wall and they realize that life is not Sex in the City.
Yeah. And we did a whole video about it called the Spinster Bubble.
Don't pop the Spinster Bubble.
That baby that's going to blow the fuck up.
In your face, and not in the way that you're used to, where, you know, you can just wipe it off with a hanky. But make no mistake, dudes, just because this woman is coming clean now does not mean she's different and she loves you. She just wants to unburden her soul from all the damage that she's done.
Yeah, she is basically going over the cliff right now. She wants to kick off some cargo.
Yeah, she's going over Niagara Falls in a barrel, and she's just hoping she gets through the whole rosary before she hits the rocks at the bottom.
Yep.
I hope that word of this gets out there and women actually take it to heart and start looking up things for themselves, like, hey, head meds are way off the charts. People are over-medicated, over-sexed, and under-educated. And under-educated, it doesn't matter what degree you have, because they're not educating you. They're indoctrinating you.
Correct.
It's different. You can't undo 50 years of damage, well, 100 years of damage at this point with one article. But hey, you know, one small step for people kind. Fuck you, Justin Trudeau.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, man. It started off somewhere in New York in like the late 1800s, early 1900s.
It was the 1920s with the suffragette movement.
Well, no, yeah. There was some other stuff before that. It took many years before it to get up and running. It was very slow.
The suffragettes had their opposition, too. Feminists would have you believe every woman was out there with picket signs in the 1920s demanding the right to vote. No. It was a small minority, just like it is today.
Correct.
So treat them like a minority, and don't give them welfare.
That's right. Ignore them.
Tell them to shut the f*** up. And now we're going to go inside and get some food.
Yes!